Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming to my channel once more. This video is about BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, because their summit in Kazan, Russia, ended just today. Kazan, as every child can tell, means cauldron in Russia, Russian. And there is a gigantic model of a cauldron which lights up at night beside the river Volga that bisects the city. This is the capital of Tatarstan, as in a homeland of one of Russia's indigenous minorities. Only 50% of the people are ethnically Tatar. But it was significant that they should have chosen this as the venue for the summit. Russia showing it's not just a sort of white European Orthodox Christian Russia, and it appeals to others. Notably, Turkey attended. Will the Turks seek to join BRICS? So President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was there. He wants to forge fraternal links with all the Turkic peoples of the world. He's part of that Turkic council. But much though Russia will try to play up the way of a multi-ethnic, multi-religious society, they will try and smother Tatar identity in other ways. They've removed Tatar as a compulsory subject in Tatarstan and so on. In future, it will simply be head of Tatarstan, not president of Tatarstan as it is now. So the three-day summit drew to a close. And there was a very tight security cordon there in Kazan. Schools had to teach online. Hospitals cancelled many operations to forfend people going to the city centre. So there was a heavy police presence and harassment. And as usual, a million ordinary people were inconvenienced just so the VIPs could lord it over the denizens. Anyway, they just have no regard for the huge inconvenience and suffering that they caused them. They splurge a lot of money hunting up the city when many people in Russia are in poverty. Anyway, so Putin was visibly elated that so many heads of state came along, and 24 countries were represented. So that the real coup for Russia, though, was that they got the United Nations Secretary General to show up, and it's Antonio Guterres. Now, Ukraine lobbied very hard indeed that Guterres would stay away from Kazan. However, the Ukrainians failed to convince him not to go. Anyway, so Russia was deeply unhappy, was publicly dissatisfied with Guterres until now, claiming that he was overtly biased towards Ukraine in this conflict. I mean, I'm not sure it's biased to call a war, but to call naked aggression by its proper name. But Guterres visited Kyiv at the end of 2022, and Russia bombarded the city while Guterres was still even there. Guterres went and flew on to Moscow. I wonder whether he shouldn't have done so just to express his displeasure. But if he hadn't done so, people would say, you know, this is showing partiality. He's not going the extra mile for peace. Anyway, Kyiv is especially hurt that Guterres showed up in Kazan because he turned down Ukraine's pressing invitation for him to attend a peace summit in Switzerland, a summit to which Russia wasn't invited. Well, Guterres said there was no way he could stay away from BRICS, because 41% of the world's population is a member of the BRICS country and is even more of the world's landmass. It's something like ridiculous, something like 60% of the world's landmass is a BRICS country. Anyway, in Kazan, Antonio Guterres met President Putin and he said, let's make peace on the basis of the United Nations Charter. Well, you know, Putin's going to violate that every day. Guterres also said, Russia must ensure freedom of navigation in the Black Sea. Of course, that's the littoral adjacent to Ukraine. And that is an arterial route for the export of grain from Ukraine to lots of other countries, particularly global south countries. And this has been interdicted as merchant ships have been hit by Russia. That's not contraband of war. Russia will always say it was carrying weapons or something, even if it's been weapons away from Ukraine. Anyway, Guterres says he shall visit Ukraine again at the opposite moment without saying when that's going to be. So BRICS was established in 2009. There was a British financial analyst for Goldman Sachs, James O'Neill, if I got that right, and he said there were several major economies that were emerging, and he came up with this name for them. So the countries have a number of commonalities. They're all non-Western. They're all dissatisfied with American hegemony, but they're not actually anti-Western in every case. Brazil sometimes had a rather pro-S administration. India retains cordial links with the European Union, the United States, and individual European countries, not particularly friendly with the United Kingdom. So coming into 2024, BRICS expanded and it took in five new members: the Islamic Republic of Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, Ethiopia, and Egypt. So did I misspeak? Turkey is actually already a member. So that was just 1st of January this year. So the UAE is the richest per capita member of all the BRICS members, although it's got the smallest population, only 10 million people. So BRICS comprises a significant proportion of the world's population. There's been talk of Saudi Arabia and Argentina, obviously, to join, but that hasn't happened so far. So it was quite an achievement that they've got 24 countries represented there, even though only 10 are members. Now, they didn't all send their prime minister or president. Some sent a foreign minister, even deputy PM. Now, there were some Latin American countries. Bolivia was there. Vietnam was there. None of them were tiddlers, not only just discourteous. So Turkey is the only NATO member which is in BRICS. Remember, Turkey is still aspiring to a seat at the European Union. It's been a candidate member since 1987. Back in those days, it was the European Economic Community. The EU as such didn't exist. But negotiation towards the EU accession was frozen years ago. It's hard to see how Turkey will ever be admitted to the EU. So the Turkish policy for decades has been one of equidistance between the anti-Western and the Western camps. Azerbaijan showed up, and that's a sign of just how amicable relations between Baku and Moscow are. Baku is important, helping Russia evade sanctions. Baku ensures friendly relations with Turkey, and so on. And another one, this is to punish Armenia. So that was it. That was Putin was very well received there a couple of months ago. Belarus went along because Belarus was almost everything Russia orders except invade Ukraine. So this is an annual summit, and the five founding nations rotate hosting it. It might be in a non-founding nation from now, one of the newer five. So BRICS, this is certainly good news for Russia. It's proved it's not friendless, not as isolated as people would have you believe. It likes to encourage international fora within Western mastery. So Western countries are unofficially excluded from BRICS. That's not guaranteed. And obviously, there's some liminality about what's Western and what's not. So, BRICS is not the triumph quite that Putin would have liked. They're always talking about establishing a currency that will rival the greenback. As we know, headway in that way. They've talked about having an alternative payment system other than SWIFT. Now, China's got its Union Pay. Russia's got some sort of MIR, is their payment system, and is accepted in some former Soviet countries. China's Union Pay is accepted in some other countries, but they're just anywhere near SWIFT. So Sino-Russian relations are not quite as cooperative as Moscow wants to pretend. So the Chinese, they always drive a very hard bargain. There are no favors for Russia or anyone else. They're only collaborative in exchange for large quantities of oil and gas sold well below market price. The number stumbling blocks on BRICS, that is the adversarial relationship between the People's Republic of China and the Republic of India. There's that border dispute going back to the British era. And in 2020, a battle was fought in the Himalayas. Over 55 soldiers were killed. So the Indians fear that Cathay is seeking to encircle them, setting up bases in the Indian Ocean. The Chagos Islands may be another example of that. Are they trying to do so in the Maldives, in Sri Lanka, possibly in Bangladesh. So China is the main backer of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, which, of course, is India's mortal enemy. So another way it can't respond is if Pakistan joins, India will leave. I'm not sure they've got a veto, but India really doesn't want Pakistan to join. They try to be there so the Pakistanis aren't. So it's hard to get Beijing and Delhi to agree on much. Each one is a member, partly because they doesn't want the other one to have unimpeded access to the forum. Like, it reminds me of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, founded by China, invited others to join. India's in it, Pakistan's in it. India doesn't want Pakistan to be in it alone, and so on. So Kazakhstan has turned down the opportunity to join BRICS. Now, clearly, that is disappointing for Russia. They said they respect the decision. Yeah, right. They never respect the sovereignty of any country, particularly former Soviet countries. So there's a heated debate about whether BRICS should keep on inviting more members. Some people think that its quality is its exclusivity, and you can't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry joining. They've either got to be second-tier economies of very large countries, or else first-tier economies of small countries like the UAE. Yeah, they don't want to be taking in Republic of Ireland. We're very rich, we're quite small, we're very Western. No, they don't want to take in a country like South Korea, which they think is aligned to the Western world. They don't want to take in like Burkina Faso. No, it's too underdeveloped, it's too tiny, or something like that. Microstates like, you know, Monaco, forget it. But there's another view, they should take in as many countries as possible unless they're clearly Western. So they're not going to be taking in Germany or Canada or Australia. So Moscow proposes a compromise. Their solution is to be partner membership for countries they don't want to admit fully. And that's what they suggest in places like Pakistan. So BRICS, it's somewhat relevant of the Eurasian Economic Union, is reminiscent of the EAEU because it was founded in September 2011. By Russia, with Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Armenia, and Belarus joining. They're all former Soviet countries. It was supposed to be the erstwhile Soviet answer to the European Union. But in all those years, in 13 years, it has made pathetic progress. Economic integration has gone at a snail's pace. They don't have anything like free trade. There's no suggestion there'd be free movement of labor. There's not even free movement of capital. They can only stay to other countries is up to 30 days a year without a visa. And no other countries are talking about joining. So that has been, I think, to say a failure. It's not actually been closed down, but that's clearly not what Russia wanted. But this particular Kazakhstan summit, that was a success for Russia. As for going further, it's debatable. Now, BRICS is not about to disappear. Whether it will deepen and widen is unclear. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.